B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's bring him in. Bo Wolf on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Bo.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Nice piece and, a hardcore, well-researched piece and eye-popping revelations in this story. So, like, right out of the chute, I got to ask you, of all the things you guys wrote, what do you believe was the most damning tidbit for Eagle fans?
To me, I think it is the lack of cooperation, the lack of cohesion, and like the amount of obfuscation there is between departments, and the fact that, you know, you get to draft day and, you know, half the building finds themselves caught off guard by what decisions the team makes. You know, you've got, you know, scouts who are out on the road 9 months out of the year. They're putting their boards together, and they don't see that work necessarily reflected. I think a lot of these things are probably, you know, standard practice across like most organizations, but that doesn't make it necessarily any better for, especially for an organization that has sort of been touting how collaborative their entire processes are.
It was kind of mind-boggling to me to see that the analytics guy has more power than scouts that have been in the game who are employed by the Eagles to evaluate players. And that information being disregarded for people that would, I think, be fair to say, know less about football than they do. So, like, how can an organization succeed when it's that?
Well, I think a lot of this goes to perception. So it may not even be the case that, you know, the analytics department is holds heavier sway than the scouting department. But because everything is done so secretively, and because, you know, Jeffrey Lurie is known to want to have an analytically forward organization, you have a situation where everybody's sort of making theories, you know, behind closed doors. And so people on the scouting department theorize that if it doesn't look like their work is reflected in the board, then it must be the case that, you know, the analytics department is holding heavier sway. And you probably have it going both ways. And so I think that's the problem, is that when not everybody is on the same page, then nobody is on the same page.
Well, and the example of that is that Howie Rosen has his own draft board, and the scouts are evaluating players in a different way. I don't understand that how that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we talked to plenty of people who have worked in multiple organizations, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, they say it's not the kind of thing that goes on everywhere, where, you know, there's a whole process, and then, you know, as the draft meetings start, Howie Roseman shows up with his own draft board. So, yeah, that is certainly unique, and obviously I'm sure we'll get into Jeffrey Lurie's involvement, and I don't think that Jeffrey Lurie's involvement is, you know, sort of a shocking revelation from this piece, but I think that what we've heard is that there's no doubt that as time has gone on, he has become a little bit more involved.
Yeah, and the example of that, let's take one of the examples, which is a really interesting story that you guys paint out. They beat the Green Bay Packers, and Lurie, who's long advocated the use of analytics, wanted to know after the game why Peterson hadn't called more passing plays.
Yeah, and you have to imagine, like, you think about this from Doug Peterson's perspective. You know, you win the Super Bowl, you feel like, okay, I know everybody sort of doubted me as how qualified I am as a head coach. I feel like I've sort of proven them wrong. You think that coming into 2018, you're going to get a little bit more leeway, a little bit more leniency in the building, and that doesn't happen to be the case. In fact, it seems like your bosses are even more involved. And you get to 2019, you know, you have this big win in Green Bay. Green Bay is like matching your 12 personnel with nickel and dime personnel, so obviously it makes sense to run the ball. And then you show up on your meeting, and, you know, the questions are, why didn't we run the ball? And I don't want to mischaracterize it that Jeffrey Lurie like comes into that meeting and he's like, Doug, what are you doing? Why didn't you run the ball? But he's asking those questions. And if you're Doug Peterson, you know, over the course of time, that has to wear on you. Like, you feel like you can't do enough. Like, winning the game so often is not enough. You're still being questioned. So I think a lot of this stuff is just like interpersonal dynamics, and if things are clearer, there wouldn't have been so many issues.
Listen, I don't know if this is general practice in the NFL or not, but the way this story reads is that, okay, this is an owner that really doesn't know what he doesn't know, and the general manager is telling him the right things to make him think that he knows what he doesn't know.
Yeah, and I think if you talk to people who, you know, are on the side that Howie Roseman, you know, shouldn't be there anymore, they would tell you that what Howie Roseman does well is manage up, and that he's very good at, you know, incorporating what Jeffrey Lurie wants and making sure that he keeps that relationship as good as possible for him. I mean, you know, to be fair, like, Jeffrey Lurie's track record as an owner is very good. You know, over his time owning the team, the Eagles are, you know, I think top quarter of the league in win percentage. Obviously, he's won a Super Bowl, but the people that we talk to who, you know, have knowledge of Jeffrey's growing involvement say that it is getting a little bit more intense, you know, in the draft process. And, you know, even those Tuesday meetings, like, those were not a thing that he did with Andy Reid. So certainly that goes to their level of trust in Doug Peterson, and it probably works both ways. But, you know, I don't imagine that Nick Sirianni is the kind of guy who they're going to trust and not question. Whereas, you know, with Josh McDaniels, I think that might have been the case.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
And that's when Eagle fans are looking at this and go, okay, they hired this guy who probably is not ripe enough to be an NFL head coach. And they hired him because this story points out they want to still maintain control. The owner wants to have input. The general manager wants to have his own input aside from the scouts. And that makes for like a really crazy organization.
Well, and it's hard not to draw the comparison because, like, Sirianni and McDaniels are such polar opposites as candidates, aside from just being, you know, offensive coaches. You know, McDaniels, you imagine you're bringing in a guy who you're expecting to be heavily involved in every aspect of football organizations, just like Bill Belichick is. Whereas with Sirianni, you know, this is a guy who was not interviewed by other teams. He wasn't even on the Eagles' first round of interviews. And he's coming in to be, like, you know, coaching ball. He's, you know, getting everybody excited on the roster and coaching up the young guys. And I think it's obvious that, you know, Nick Sirianni is not coming in here, you know, putting his finger, you know, pounding the table for guys in the draft process. He's here. They're gonna bring him along. And as Jeffrey Lurie said, like on the phone call when he offered Sirianni the job, we're excited for the coach you are and the coach you can become. So I think they're hiring a guy who they think they can sort of mold into the kind of head coach they want.
We're talking to Bo Wolf. He's one of the authors of the story, The Athletic, along with Shil Kapadia and Zach Berman. Revelations about the disconnect in the Eagles organization. Let's talk about analytics for a second, because you guys go into great lengths with this analytics piece with Alec Hallaby, who is the Eagles vice president of football operations, and he's been with the organization for a while, and now he runs the four-person analytics department, and it's almost comical because this guy apparently is a friend of the owner's son, and he's in there, and you guys characterize it like people are saying that the analytics team is a clandestine black ops department that doesn't answer to anybody except the owner. Flesh that out for me a little bit.
Well, yeah. Now, first of all, on the Julian Lurie thing, I don't want to mischaracterize that. That is not like, you know, Hallaby and Lurie like went to Harvard together, and mm-hmm. then Jeffrey Lurie hired him for that reason. That, you know, Hallaby's been there for 10 years.
Right.
Description is that over that time he has become friendly with Julian Lurie, and again, this is from like mm-hmm. the people on the other side of the building who call it a black ops department. But listen, I agree with a lot of the analytically push forward things. Like, I think that Jeffrey Lurie is right that in today's NFL, it's better to pass the ball than to run the ball. Obviously, there's context to all these things, but it's not enough to have the right ideas. You need to be able to have the right ideas and have them implemented by the people who are in charge of implementing them. And if you don't have a good relationship with the coaching staff and they can't put into play the things that you know are, you know, best served to help win football games, then the whole process is sort of, what's the point?
Okay, and we should point out that according to reports, Jeffrey Lurie was heavily involved in the selection of Jalen Hurts. He was heavily involved in the selection of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. These are picks now that may set the Eagles back a little bit. And in the case of Jalen Hurts, this owner obviously didn't see that could be a domino effect that would blow up their quarterback situation. So I don't know what faith Eagle fans are supposed to have with this situation. Now, I know you guys have probably talked to a lot of people, obviously anonymously, but people connected to the organization, people that still may work in the organization. And so what, and you point out that Howie Roseman is very paranoid about leaks that don't come from him. Well, this story is a leak story. How do you think that he will react to this?
Well, that's a fair question. I'm sure he, you know, I'm sure he would object to some of the characterizations and would point to, you know, the Eagles going to the playoffs 3 of the past 4 years, which is true, but it's also true that, you know, 2 of those playoff runs, you know, one of them they only make it because Kirk Cousins, you know, collapses in week 17, and the other they only make it because the NFC East is so bad. So it's not like, you know, 18 and 19 were these years to, you know, put banners up for. But, you know, the leak stuff, like, as it was described by one of our sources, you know, when Jeffrey Lurie, or when Howie Roseman returned from his exile in 2016, he really was, it seemed like, a different person. And then that person described it as sort of, you know, like a weight loss program gone bad, the effect where you gain back all of that weight and then more, sort of the boomerang effect. And he's over time become, you know, a little bit, you know, some of his worst weaknesses have sort of come out to play. So, you know, there are people in the building who are wary of that, but you know, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have people who you know, ride for him in the building and his guys. But you know, I don't think he's going to read this story, if he does read it, and be thrilled.
Well, if he reads the story, is he going to go through phone records like this story points out?
I don't know. You should not be worried around as I walk around the city that somebody's going to come up and take my phone and look through it.
Well, no, see, this is the thing. This story now, I'm curious to know, have you gotten any feedback from the Eagles? Have you gotten any feedback from Howie or anybody in charge here? And what do you think this does to your ability to cover the team and the other two guys?
I mean, listen, I think we worked very hard, Zach, Sheila, and I, to make sure that everything in this story was as fair as possible. I think we went sort of overboard in that case throughout the piece. You know, there are only things in here that we had vetted by multiple sources independently. There's a lot of things that, you know, we had that we didn't put in the piece that would have made the Eagles look worse. So I think we worked overboard, to be fair, and I hope that the Eagles would respect that.
All right, well, we'll see what the fallout is. So you haven't heard from the Eagles. You have not heard from Howie.
No.
Okay. Do you expect to?
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out.
All right. Bo, listen, great piece. You guys did a fantastic job, and you've given us a lot of discussion points on this thing. And I guess the last question is this situation, in your view, after all doing all this study, bad enough to think that there is no way that the Eagles can really get this back into a winning situation quickly?
So, I mean, I think it makes the degree of difficulty higher. But at the same time, like, as we talk to people, a lot of these dynamics were going on behind the scenes in 2017, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So it's not necessarily disqualifying, but it certainly makes things harder, I think.
All right. Bo, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. That's Bo Wolf from The Athletic on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.